Good morning, everyone. Thanks for showing up so early. I think there must be something happening outside because there's a lot of people, so I don't know what's happening with the city, but thanks again for showing up so early in the morning. I know the title for this section is Translating the Affordable Care Act, and I think as the first speaker, I don't want to throw everyone off, but I'll only be talking about the Affordable Care Act only in the context of this bill called the Health Equity and Accountability Act that my organization, the Asian Pacific Islander American Health Forum, worked on. But before I begin, I guess I should give a little introduction of myself. So for full disclosure, I actually am one of those veterans of Capitol Hill. And so I think my journey to public health didn't come, like many of you in the room, I'm hoping and I'm assuming, working in epidemiology, public health practice, healthcare delivery, or other places. I actually did it from a place where I think public health really isn't spoken of very highly and probably isn't the most popular kid in town. I think whenever we talk about healthcare issues and healthcare policy, we forget that public health is a very important component of it. And the Health Equity and Accountability Act is one of those bills that I think really delivers on a lot of what we do as public health workers and people who work in public health policy, as it really gets into the major pieces of racial and ethnic health disparities and looks at how we can do a coordinated federal response for it. And so to begin, what is the Health Equity and Accountability Act? It's introduced by the Congressional Tri-Caucus, made up of the three minority caucuses for the last seven Congresses. This year, the Congressional Asian Pacific American Caucus was the lead. And because of our very close working relationship with them in Washington, D.C. and in their district offices, they asked us if we could talk with them and think about ways to really see if we even needed a health equity bill this Congress. And so these are the Congressional Tri-Caucus chairs. Congresswoman Barbara Lee from Oakland is the Congressional Asian Pacific American Caucus Health Task Force Chair. Congresswoman Donna Christensen from the Virgin Islands is the Congressional Black Caucus Chair, and Congresswoman Lucille Roybal Allard is the Congressional Hispanic Caucus Chair for Healthcare and the Environment. And so these three congressional leaders really do carry the mantle for minority health issues, on top of many other members, but the Congressional Tri-Caucus defers to a lot of health policy issues to these three individuals. And prior to working at the Health Forum, I actually worked on health policy issues for the Congressional Asian Pacific American Caucus for 3 years. And so understanding full well the different mechanisms in Congress, I think, is one of the tools that we definitely need to learn as public health workers. So in May of last year, the Asian Pacific Islander American Health Forum started to convene advocacy groups to really work on H.R. 3090, which was the 111th version, and looking at pieces of it that really should still happen in a post-ACA, post-Children's Health Insurance Program, post-American Recovery and Reinvestment Act, post-High-Tech Act world, because at that point, H.R. 3090 was only introduced without the ACA passing Congress. And so we wanted to see if advocacy groups even had the appetite to talk about health equity still. Many of the provisions of health equity in the ACA actually derived from H.R. 3090, the pieces around the elevation of the Office of Minority, or the creation of the Office of Minority Health in the different HHS agencies, the elevation of the National Institute of Minority Health and Health Disparities at NIH to a full-fledged institute from a center, was actually language that was created over many Congresses. And so we wanted to make sure that we scrubbed 3090 clean to see what else and what were some of the pieces of work that we still needed to work on. So the community working group was actually made up of over 200 organizations. At our first meeting, in a room much smaller than this, we actually had capacity issues because there wasn't enough chairs. And so I think that once we came together, we realized we really still needed to work on health equity issues in a post-ACA world. And so we conducted an analysis of 3090 and compared it with some of those enacted laws that I mentioned. We worked together to develop advocacy and education materials, and we tried to really come together to think about what were some of the enduring pieces of the ACA that was lacking. And we always work very closely with our Congressional Tri-Caucus and Senate staff, because I think as advocacy organizations, we forget that they actually have the final say, and part of it is playing politics with your partners on the Hill. And so our recommendations actually were more than 150 pages of analysis and questions and pieces, and we actually expanded on the bill. The bill used to be 300 pages, and the final product was 650 pages. So Representative Barbara Lee introduced this last year in September to coincide with the Health Equity Conference in Oakland that she worked with us on. The bill currently has 83 co-sponsors in the House, and 68 of them were original. So this is the first page of the bill. And as you can tell, the first page is actually full of all the original co-sponsors. If you have more than 50 co-sponsors in the House of Representatives, that's actually considered one of those bills that are important, that cross-cut, that are actually on people's radar. So having 68 set a record at the original level. And to be an original co-sponsor, that just means that on the day of introduction, you direct your staff to make sure that you get your name to the House of Representatives well, because you don't want to be missing that train. And so in the Senate, Senator Akaka, and it was actually very funny when we were working with him and his staff, he called it Akaka Care. And so he introduced S2474 in April of this year to coincide with Minority Health Month. And in the Senate, Senator Inouye is the only co-sponsor. And these two identical bills we like to say identical in quotation marks, because in the Senate they actually stripped all the language that authorized funding and appropriated money. So the House version actually appropriated such sums necessary, and the Senate actually took out every single piece of that. And I think it's a political argument, because in the Senate, they work very closely, they deliberate, and because the Democrats are in the majority, they didn't want this to be seen as a way to continue to expand the deficit. I think that one of the enduring legacies of this last Congress has been the constant justification of how much we have to cut discretionary spending, which we all know funds a lot of the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention and other pieces. And so we were just very glad that there was still an appetite in Congress to do this, because I think that if many of us remember, the ACA was not a very smooth trip. I think I want to quote Shakespeare and say, the course of true love never did run smooth. And so I think that talks about the ACA. So we actually questioned at the very beginning, and I'm sorry that I didn't put this in the beginning, about why work on a health equity bill? Didn't we already have the ACA, which we feel is the largest minority health bill investment in 40 years? Didn't the Obama administration, through the National Plan for Action and the National Stakeholder Strategy, work to reduce minority health? Doesn't Healthy People 2020 make it a goal to reduce racial and ethnic health disparities? And so these were questions we all grappled with as we came into this work, which I like to say, and full disclosure, was totally unfunded and out of the goodness of our own hearts, and asked advocacy groups why we would do it. We are not naive in any sense. We knew this wasn't going to pass this Congress, and we knew that having a bill that's 650 pages that we won't even say how much it costs, we'll never even get past committee. And so we thought that this was a really good way for us to continue to push the envelope further when we talk about health equity issues. The health equity bill as it stands in 2011 and 2012 actually created more opportunities not only for racial and ethnic minorities but several underrepresented groups. There are very strong provisions in it for immigrants, LGBT Americans, the disability community, and a whole range of other pieces. There are actually 10 titles that I'm going to start talking about, and I will skip that piece. And so the Congressional Asian Pacific American Caucus met with President Obama last September, and one of the pieces that he asked was, what are some of your priority issues? Congresswoman Lee, never using or missing an opportunity, actually said, well, why don't you implement administratively this health equity bill that we've all worked on and that's a priority for us? And to everyone's surprise, President Obama said, sure, I'll implement it. And so he actually directed senior HHS officials to start the work of putting together recommendations and pieces of the health equity bill that can be done in 2 years. And so another, you know, tidbit, historical fact, is that President Obama is actually the very first president to endorse the health equity bill. And so I think when we think about what is at stake in probably a major event happening next week, we should really think about how the leadership, especially at the highest levels, will start to think about health equity issues. And so we have been meeting with HHS and the Congressional Tri-Caucus to continue to ask them about their different pieces. And Assistant Secretary Nadine Gracia for Minority Health, and along with Assistant Secretary Koh, continue to surprise us, because I think when we work with the administration, we always feel it's very frustrating, it's such a slow process. But in reality, they've been very good about implementing the pieces, I mean, with several caveats, of course, the pieces that don't cost money, the pieces that have the highest impact, and the pieces that would, and you know, politics aside, would be wins for this administration. And so we have met with all the different OMHs of the different HHS agencies. We've met with different pieces that don't actually do with HHS, the pieces around IRS, DOL, and the Department of Education. So it really is a bill around social determinants as well. And so I think my time is running out. And so I actually invite you all to learn about this bill. I know that's a very long URL, but I'll be available for questions. I know that I said I would talk about all 10 titles, but I think if we did that, we'll be here all morning. So thanks again, and should I just end it now? Where did our moderator go?